I got an email with this Eric Valtoya from Ayodunim Bnei Brak, and he said this interesting story, which apparently he says that he witnessed, not firsthand, but he heard from somebody firsthand. So close enough, I suppose. The story goes like this: there was a Yid that came into fairly recently, came into Ponovitch Yeshiva. And this Yid apparently was obvious that this Yid was not particularly firm and very ignorant, very, very ignorant. And he came, I don't know, with a couple, without a couple, I think it said that it was even without a couple. And he came in, and he got uncomfortable and everything, but quite determined. Somebody approached him, what do you want to do? He said, I'd like to learn a little bit. He said, sure, by all means, can we help you? And they tried to learn, but the site was a bit interesting because he was very ignorant, very amaratzish, and yet he had quite a desire to learn. Well, I think the point that was the most bizarre about it was his age. He was in his 80s, in his deep 80s, and he wanted to, and here he comes, he wants to learn in Ponovitch Yeshiva. And they realized there must be some sort of story, there must be something to it. And they approached him, and this is what he related. And one doesn't have to be it's a very interesting story. So the Yid said that I'll tell you my story goes like this. I came from a completely non-observant background, non-observant whatsoever, and actually quite anti-religious as well. And we're going back. You have to make the calculation what years this was. It was years in that soul that there was a lot of bitterness against. Things haven't changed that much, but quite bitterness again, and they were very, very poor. I think that he said that his mother was alone. She was bringing him up on her own, extremely poor, and here he was, and there was they were in Tel Aviv, and his mother found out that there was nearby Bnei Brak, there was a school which was free, and not only was free, but also there was free food. They provided lunch free, I don't know, supper, breakfast, I don't know, there was, they sold to the boys food free of charge. And she said, well, if it's free, I'm for sure going to go for it. You know, she may not have been full, but she was Yid. she sent him. And it was like a kind of boarding school, I understand. And he was there for a week. After a week or two, she came to visit him, and she comes to visit. And lo and behold, what does she see? That her son was enrolled in a from school in Bnei Brak, and here he was with a couple and tzitzit. She got such a shock. The last thing I want is to a couple and tzitzit. And she said, no, I'm taking him right home. And then the Rosh Yeshiva, the person who was in charge of that moset, he happens to be the Ponovitch Rav, Yosef Shlomo Kahneman, who was actually like in charge of this school. And he said, no, please, can you not, he's so happy here. He's all proud of his tits, of his couple. He learned already the basics, and he was all excited. He was doing so well in that school. He said, no, I'm not keeping him here. I'm taking him right home. He said, please. He said, we'll provide to your needs as well, and whatever you want, but please just keep him in this school, because they realized the alternative is for him to go to non-form school and there'll be nothing left of him. And the Ponovitch Rav insisted. He said, please, just keep him here just for a few more months. And she was completely damaged. She pulled him literally by the arm and she took him out. As she was taking him out, he noticed the corner of his eye that the Ponovitch Rav, who was in charge of that school, who was just having those negotiations with his mother, he sat down and he cried. He literally cried. And he was not the kind of person, we know the point was, he wasn't the kind of person, but he cried, he literally cried, because he knew the consequence of him, of that boy leaving the school. He knew what it meant. And he said that picture, that image of this old rabbi with a white beard crying, that he should leave, that's something that remained him. The reality was that the mother pulled him away, and he went to some sort of school in Tel Aviv. And he was brought up in mainstream Tel Aviv society. And he went to the schools, to the army, to universities, etc., etc. But it's in the back of his mind, he always had a picture of this rabbi with a white beard crying that he wouldn't learn Torah. And he said that he's now 80 and now a bit more time, he's more retirement age. And now he's realizing that, well, if this rabbi, all his life, it was like the kind of picture that he had with him. And now he feels that he wants to just see what is it that he had lost. Those tears were different. And he was in his 80s, and he now went back to Ponevish Yeshiva, indeed, as an 86-year-old man, to learn Torah. It's incredible, incredible. It's apparently a true story. So one doesn't have to be a Freudian to understand, you know, that, you know, they talk about of course, there is that importance of the very young, and that impression of can make on the children. It's incredible. It's really, really incredible. I just want to share that with you, because it's something to think about. Okay, Rabbosai, what we're going to be learning this week, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be learning indeed about your half an hour. We're going to be talking about your half an hour sleep. We'll speak about David HaMelech, the half an hour. And then a very important topic, which is a very relevant, is about all the, there's a list in Sif Yud Ches about all the things that are, whenever we need to wash hands, a whole list of things that when we need to wash hands. Some are Ruach Ro related, others are not Ruach Ro related. So we'll be talking about those extensively, Mitzshem. We'll be talking about what happens if somebody doesn't wash his hands for Ruach Ro, what happens then. Then we'll be talking a little bit more about the general Sif Simon Hey Mitzshem we'll be looking at, which is the rule of what's the Kavan of the Brachas. Very interesting. We'll be looking at the halachas of Asher Yotzeh as well as its meaning as well. So that's the program this week, Be'ez Hashem. Let us see this a little bit closer now. Okay, Simon Dalet Seif Tes Zayin. So Seif Tes Zayin is the continuation of what we discussed. We saw in end of the week in Seif Tes Vav, we saw that there is a bit of a controversy as to whether a person sleeps by day if he needs to wash or not. The exception, so what's clear is, yeah, if you sleep by day, perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. But what's clear is that if it's less than a half an hour, we learned, if it's less than a half an hour, then certainly one does need to wash hands. Why so? So here's Seif Tes Zayin explaining this a little bit in greater detail. David HaMelech. Hayoniza used to be careful. I'm in page Yud Simon Dalet Seif Tes Zayin. David Hayoniza, David HaMelech used to be careful. Shloi Lishon Shitin Nishmin. He would be careful not to sleep Shitin, which means 60. Nishmin means bread. Perish Shishim Nishimois 60 times. Why? Kedei, in order shalitoim tamisa, in order for him not to taste the tamis, that literally means the taste of death. But I suppose what he means is that he wouldn't. I suppose what he means is that that's scientifically proven. There's various levels of sleeping, right? I mean, I don't know. There's like various levels of. There's very, very light sleeping, and then it's deeper. There's three levels. Pardon. What's that, Stephen?
Sleep is a 60th. No, Barry. Sleep is a 60th of death.
That's exactly it. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So now, therefore, since there is that level of that unconsciousness, there's levels of unconsciousness, various levels of unconsciousness, and I suppose there is a lower level of unconsciousness once you reach the 60 minutes threshold, threshold. And he didn't want to reach that level, and that's why after every Shishin Ishmin he would be woken up. The Bialocha tells us there is. So that's why we make sure not to have Shishin Ishmin. Now, the Bialocha tells us there are three opinions. What is actually Shishin Ishmin? How long is that? How long is Shishin Ishmin? David was to be careful not to sleep longer than Shishin Ishmin. Well, but how long is Shishin Ishmin? Three opinions. So what are the opinions? 30 minutes. Bialocha, bottom Bialocha, bottom line. David, Shishin, I'm going to Bialocha, not in the Mishnah Berurah, in Bialocha. Rabu boy, hadeos b'shir zeh. There's various opinions. How long is Shishin Ishmin that David used to be careful not to sleep? Yesh oimrim, some say, sholoi shosh, 3 hours. Okay, David made sure not to sleep more than 3 hours. V'raya, he brings Raya from the Arizal. V'yesh toichin, and then he said, v'oi, then he brings, I'm skipping a couple of lines. Some say that it's actually half an hour. That's what we generally, right? 30 minutes. Or the last opinion is 3 minutes. It's got three opinions. Either David HaMelech didn't sleep for longer than 3 hours in a go, or he didn't sleep longer than 30 minutes, or he didn't sleep more than 3 minutes. Sounds a bit. Now, you're right in your question. Your question is absolutely correct. Because the Gemara addresses your question because he's bothered about you. Your question. He says, Hagovah Gemara, it says the, I don't know if it's the Gemara, but he brings in the brackets over here. Hagovah Gemara, Perik Ayoshen, Mashma, the Dafka, Beyoim, Hainizah. This, he was particularly careful about this. David Melech was careful, specifically during the day. So it wasn't during the night he would sleep normally. It was only by day that he had that hakpada, that carefulness. It was only by day. So by day, without a sleep, he wouldn't go to Shishan Ishmin. So either Shishan Ishmin could be, he wouldn't sleep 3 hours. Okay, I suppose that's no great achievement. He wouldn't sleep 3 hours by day. Okay, who actually does sleep 3 hours by day? So that's actually not a great achievement. Half an hour, David HaMelech wouldn't sleep by day more than half an hour. Okay. Or he wouldn't sleep by day more than 3 minutes. Either way, I must tell you, that I'm struggling basically. What's your? Okay. It was up Chatzos HaLaila.
The violin used to go with the wind.
Yes, the harp. Yes. You would walk up. Absolutely, that's what Gemara says. Yeah. So what are you pointing? That's when you drive Tehillim. So what? So you're pointing out that either way, huh? He didn't sleep a lot. The reality is, the Mishnah does say, that's an important point, if Kot Lamed Hei, Shittin Ishmin, Roi Tzulema Retzufin, he would sleep, he just wouldn't sleep that, without interruption. He would wake up, yeah. That means that, it's just the point of this Shittin Ishmin is you can't go in one go, but if you wake up in the middle, you have like a break of your sleep, and you carry on sleeping afterwards, that would be, so the David would do that. He just wouldn't sleep. Shishim Nishven. Much better. Much better. That's where they're coming from. That's the... They are helping you achieve that greatness. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. And indeed, Mishabu points out what you're referring to. Roi Tzulem in Sivkot Lamed Hei, fourth wide line. Roi Tzulem Retzufin, uninterrupted. Eloyam Isnam Neim Kamapomi would doze off numerous times, pochish mishitin ishmin, less than shishin ishmin, ad chatzos alaylo, until midnight, or mechatzos veilechem iska bekari, and from chatzos on to midnight, he would wake up like a lion, and he would wake up then. So Rabbi said, we've got over here an interesting hakpada that David HaMelech either after chatzos, so what is it? He wouldn't sleep more than shishin ishmin, and he would wake up chatzos, and he would wake up there like a lion and continue straight. Now, watch out with the Mishnah Berurah since Sivkot Lamed Vav. His sigul, the Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Lamed Vav says, if you skip the first few lines of that Mishnah Berurah, it says, "Ein Shabbos Michlal Zeh." On Shabbos, this doesn't apply. In other words, we know that David HaMelech was makbit not to sleep shishin ishmin by day. And we know it's a good thing to be makbid on. You don't want to sleep shishin ishmin by day. It's a right thing to do. Now how? Because David HaMelech did it, so it's a good thing. Because it's Tamis saying it. So how do you? So Shabbos is excluded. So Shabbos is out, and the rest of and we've got to identify what exactly is shishin ishmin. So you've got to be alocha. It's out of 3 minutes, which is us quite. Quite strict, or you've got a half an hour, which is generally accepted as the halacha. Or if a person wants to be more lenient, you've got the opinion of the 3 hours. Power nap, yeah. How long is a power nap?
It can be a few minutes.
Even a few minutes.
If a person's driving and you're falling asleep, if you pull over, have even just a few minutes sleep.
It makes all the difference.
And you're wide awake.
Right, so you have to nap powerfully.
Yeah.
That's the idea to sleep fast. Okay. Yes, I also would have assumed so. Yes,
I mean,
it's interesting.
How is that three minutes?
I don't know. It's true that people do the breathing level decreases radically when a person is sleeping. But would if you count the it would probably would appear the 3 minutes would seem the most accurate.
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I had the same question. I don't know. Now, the Mishnah Berurah also says another point that if a person wants to sleep more, what happens if a person wants to sleep more because he can't function in the afternoon properly without having a little bit of rest? What happens if a person just can't function properly without sleeping a little bit? So. Exactly. First of all, it doesn't say it's also in the first place. Correct. This is just we want to learn the great things that David the Melech does. We want to copy that a little bit, but it doesn't say that it's forbidden. That's absolutely correct. Besides that, the Belacha teaches us something else. Mishnah Berurah says, "Ein sham oid shegam zelut yab kavonat lan osatz merakla vodosa yisborach." If a person wants to sleep a little bit more, because that's how he's going to learn, how he's going to function properly, he may do so without hesitation. So it's just what the Mishnah is really teaching us, what the Chofetz Chaim is teaching us, that persons shouldn't sleep for the sake of sleeping. It's not a value in its own. Of course, a person is entitled to sleep if he needs it to work and function effectively in the afternoon. It's fine. It's totally okay. But don't see sleeping as a value in its own. So it has to be done with an agenda. And with a reason, with a productive kind of goal. So, and then it's fine, even if it's more than Shishin Ishmin. Okay, we carry on, see if you design. So actually, there's importance in this Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is teaching us a thing or two about the value of sleeping. It's Shishin Ishmin, okay, if you've got to do more than Shishin Ishmin, that's okay. But as long as your attitude is right. Okay, see if you design. Yesh Nagin Lichot PM Shachis. Some people have the custom lichoitz piham to wash their mouths shachis in the morning, because of the the bits and pieces which are left over in your mouth. Now we of course why is this for us perhaps less relevant perhaps? We clean our teeth, exactly. We brush our teeth. Once you brush your teeth, then the bits and pieces are normally removed. So it's not. So it's the idea of it is that your mouth should be clean. And if you achieve that by brushing your teeth, then it's fine as well. Mishnah Berurah explains this in Zifkon Lamed Vav. When we are going to be davening, we're going to be davening shortly. This is before davening, Shachis. When we're going to be davening, so you want to make sure that your mouth is clean. Your mouth is. Is hygienic because you're going to be saying the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's done in a, you're going to be cleaning your mouth, so you're going to wash your mouth beforehand. You can't not mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name with a dirty mouth. The Mishnah Berurah addresses, what if the person is is an istinus, if a person is a particularly, yeah, and he happens to be in a place where there's no drinking water, and he doesn't want to put that water, which is like you put in the cup and you see like things floating, do you know what I mean? And you see it's not see-through anymore, despite the fact that it's a plastic cup and it's a glass, you should be able to, but it's like greyish with some dots and pieces inside it, and you're just a bit reluctant to rinse your mouth with that. So what are you meant to do then? Are you then meant to say, okay, I'm not going to make a brach, I'm not going to daven, I'm not going to bench because my mouth is not clean? What are you meant to do?
Make the best of it.
So Mishnah Berurah says as follows, ve'imu istenes, ve'einu roitze l'ach, is a mayim lepiv. If a person is an istenes and he doesn't want to put this water-ish in his mouth, lefish enum zakim, because the water is just not clean, ve'tzachim ein ma'akim levorich, do not worry about it. So it's fine. It's fine. It's okay. So if, for instance, a person is very makbet, and it's, I suppose, a good idea to brush the teeth every morning before he goes to daven, for various reasons, but for davening purpose as well, and for one reason or another, he just doesn't have access to a toothbrush in the morning, so, you know, it's fine. Okay, so, you know, so if you can't, you can't, and then you should still daven. See if you tres on both sides. Okay, we're not going to be able to complete this sif now, but I want to start anyway because it's a really interesting halachas. Eilu dvorim tzrichim netile b'mayim. These are the things tzrichim netile b'mayim, which require washing hands with water. Okay. Okay, these are the things that we need to wash out. This is a new list now. New paragraph, new list. Hakom, firstly, top of page 20. Hakom mehamito. Somebody who gets up out of bed, he needs to wash his hands. Okay, we know a thing or two about this already, because that's what we call Negelwasser. That's the Negelwasser. That's the one we've been talking about so far. When you get out of bed, you wash your hands. Before we continue to the next one, I want to ask you if there is, what do we see from the first few words of the Seif? There's an important couple. Mishnah Berurah does point out, he does stress and emphasize a couple of points in the first line. Have you noticed the B'mayim? Okay, so he says that there's certain washing that you can only be done with water. So the Negelwasser is one of those examples. When it's Ruach Roh related, you can only remove the Ruach Roh by means of water. Other requirements of washing hands, you can do it other ways as well. We'll talk about that. But when it comes to Ruach Roh, the only way to remove effectively the Ruach Roh is by pouring water over your hands. No, it's not coming la'afuke that. Shamashke might be okay. It's coming la'afuke, rubbing the dirt off. Okay. So that's point number one. If you look at the top line of the Mishnah, it's in Mikonokum li'stalig ruach ro. When in order to remove the Ruach Ra, it must be done with water. Okay. Now, the next example is Hayoitzi Mebeis HaKise. What's that? What is that? Hayoitzi Mebeis HaKise. Somebody, pardon?
Coming out of the bathroom.
What's the key word? It doesn't necessarily mean somebody who used and was excused. It means somebody actually entered and left the bathroom, the Beis HaKisei. So if somebody goes into the Beis HaKisei and he comes out, just walking in and walking out, the halacha is he must wash his hands. Why? Why is that? Ruach Ra. Nothing to do with cleanliness. We'll be talking about halachas of cleanliness. There's nothing to do with cleanliness. This is purely because of Ruach Ra. A Beis HaKisei, I don't know why, but a Beis HaKisei has Ruach Ra. If a person enters the Beis HaKisei, his hands are affected by Ruach Ra, which now dwells in his hands. He must remove them by washing hands. Why not? Oh no, so if it's Ruach Ra, it's going to be three times. Yeah, okay.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, so look at Mishnah Berurah Kotan Mem. I know what you mean. Let's look at, we're going to do this slowly because you're right. V'ayotzim beis hakisei, afidu lo yasa tzrochov, even if it wasn't excused. V'chein, simli beis hamechatz, from the bar of house as well. Afidu lo yorachat sham, even if he didn't wash his hands there. U'mishum Ruach Ra, because Ruach Ra, sheshoy rebeilu mekoymes, which are in those places. Now, correct. This is correct. This is very correct. And we will address this in Mitzvah Shem as well. Now, just to finish off, because Mr. Blin is 100% correct. There is various levels of Ruach Ra. I don't know anything about it, but I know there's various levels. We learned so far, when it comes to Negelwasser, the only way you can remove the Ruach Ra is by washing three times water of your hands. It's the most serious Ruach Ra that exists. The one that we're encountering now, and that's going to be perhaps a little bit confusing, we're encountering another level of Ruach Ra, which is the one, for instance, who enters the Beis HaKis and the Beis HaMechatz. His hands are also affected by Ruach Ra. However, Mr. Blin is quite right in pointing out that Ruach Ra can be removed by pouring water once as well, as opposed to three times. Don't ask me why, I have no clue. Kaylee, yes. But it seems to be a lower level of Ruach Ra. So, again, it's Ruach Ra, But once enough. That's the Mishnah Berurah point. I'm going up one line before. You only need three times. Came by the case of becoming amito negel vasam. That's the main case. We'll be talking about those as well. Hoylech ben amesim, somebody who goes between the dead, who meshamesh mitosa, relations as well. They also might need three times. We will be talking about that. Now, I want to just point out, just to add to the complexity, there is also an opinion at all that you need three times after Beis HaKisei as well. But it is not the main halacha. So just to get this clear, for Negel Vasa, you certainly need three times. Beis HaKisei, you don't really need three times, despite the fact that it's halacha. But there is one opinion holds that it is right to do three times well. But it's not the main halacha. Okay, these are the halachas we discussed tonight. We spoke about David HaMelech, being makpe not to sleep shishinishmin. And we said that this is only if it's a tzufim, it's only if it's by day. We said there's three opinions. What is shishinishmin? 3 minutes, 30 minutes, or 3 hours. We spoke about washing the mouth before davening because of the bits and pieces inside it. We also spoke about the starting the list of the things which require netilah b'mayim. First one is negel vasa, second one is yotzim beis hakisei. The rest of the list, we'll continue to go through tomorrow, Beis Hashem. I wish you a very pleasant evening.